This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
12 minutes after 6, now with part 1 of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures from Thursday were trading higher until the supply and demand numbers were released at 11 yesterday, and sell-off in soybeans seemed to have a way on corn. The futures closed roughly 2 cents lower. Funds were active buyers before the report and are estimated at 273,000 contracts long. The USDA left the U.S. balance sheet unchanged, though there was a bit of anticipation that exports would increase. On the world stage for 1920, Brazil corn exports increased 1 million metric ton, while Argentina dropped by 1 million metric ton, so that was a wash. For 2021, Brazil production unchanged at 110 million metric tons. Brazil's Department of Agriculture's estimate is 102.6, and Argentina production off by 1 million metric ton to 49. Ukraine corn production adjusted by 1 million metric ton higher, with exports up 1.5 million. Chinese imports increased to 3.5 million metric ton to 16.5 million metric ton, and Chinese usage up by 3.5 million metric ton. Overall, the report was neutral to bullish. Now we'll wait for January's report. Weekly export sales yesterday, Thursday, came in at 53.5 million bushels, which brings year-to-date commitments to 1.561 billion, over 609 million last year. Mexico, unknown, and Chinese buyers are the main buyers. China is quietly buying corn, unshipped export commitments at 1.125 billion bushels. Lost in the shuffle on Thursday was another sale of corn to Mexico at 344.4 million metric tons. Moving on to your soybean report, soybeans closed 5 to 6 cents lower after trading 17 cents higher before the 11 a.m. release of the supply and demand report. Lack of changes in the balance sheet brought selling pressure, but funds are still estimated long at 203,000 contracts. The U.S. balance sheet saw crush increase by 15 million bushels. That's a good sign of domestic usage, but the area of exports remained unchanged, even though we are 88% of USDA export projection, and trade was hoping for an increase to that number. The stocks use ratio dropped by 4%, the lowest level since 13-14. On the world stage for 2021, Brazil balance sheet is unchanged with production at 133 million metric tons. Their Department of Agriculture estimates 134.5 million metric ton. Argentina projection was off by 1 million metric ton to 50 million, but domestic usage is off a like amount. Chinese import demand unchanged at 100 million metric ton. Overall, the report was a non-event and pushes interest back to South American weather yet again. Weekly export sales came in at 20.9 million bushel Thursday, brings year-to-date commitments to 1.944 billion bushel versus 992 million last year. Buyers of note were China, Mexico, and Thailand. Wheat futures closed sharply higher again on Thursday, this time on the talk of Russia, and will limit their wheat exports. The supply and demand report showed an increase of U.S. exports by 10 million bushel. Weekly export sales came in at 22.7 million bushel and brings year-to-date commitments to 702 million bushel versus 623 million bushel last year. So to recap your grain futures from yesterday, Thursday, off the Board of Trade, December corn closed at 420 and a quarter, down 1 3/4. March corn, 421 and a quarter, down by 2.5. May corn yesterday at 424 and a quarter, down by 2 1/4. Soybeans yesterday had January at 1152 and 3/4, down 5 3/4. March beans at 1158 and 3 3/4, down by 4 3/4. May beans down to 1159 and 3/4, down by 4 3/4 as well. Wheat in Chicago for December to 590 and a quarter, up by 13 1/4. March wheat 13 1/4 cents higher, 596 1/2. May wheat at 597 1/4, up by 12 3/4. Oats for December at 339 at 4 1/2. March oats at 332 1/4, up 4 1/2 as well. Soybean meal at 381 even per ton, down 340 rather, and soybean oil for December at 38.96, up 20 cents. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash grain report.
This is Thursday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Thursday afternoon. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shelled corn bids were 3 to 5 cents lower at 389 to 419. Soybean bids were 5 to 6 cents lower at 1103 to 1150. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shelled corn bids were down 3 cents at 401 to 424. Soybean bids were 6 cents lower at 1130 to 1158. In the southern part of the state, shelled corn bids were down 3 cents at 404 to 442. Soybean bids were 5 cents lower at 1132 to 1177. Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were down 6 cents at 1161 to 1173. Basis was unchanged at 8 to 20 over the January. Hypro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $375.20 to $387.20 per ton, down $1.90 per ton, with basis unchanged at 2 under to 10 over the January. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were down 3 cents at $4.16 to $4.46, with basis unchanged at 5 under to 25 over the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids 3 to 7 cents lower at 420 to 433, with basis down 4 to unchanged at 1 under to 12 over the March. Soybeans ended 6 cents lower at 1152 to 1161, with basis unchanged at 1 under to 8 over the January. East St. Louis barge loading elevators placed their producer corn bids down 2 cents at 449 to 450. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 6 cents, with quotations at 1177 to 1179. Soft wheat closed unchanged at 601 to 603, and Milo ended the day down a penny at 495 to 497. January contract bids in the northern part of the state. Corn at 391 to 421. Soybeans at 1098 to 1152. January contract bids in the central part of the state. Corn at 401 to 427. Soybeans at 1130 to 1154. January contract bids in the southern part of the state. Corn at 407 to 449. Soybeans at 1138 to 1185. That concludes our grain report. This is Katie Lemonager with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures report here on this Friday. Fat cattle futures climbed 55 to 92 cents higher Thursday. Front month feeder cattle futures closed off their high where gains topped triple digits but still ended up by at least 20 cents. The Wednesday feeder cattle index was 9 cents lower to 137.11. USDA confirmed cash sales in Nebraska from $106 to $107 on Thursday, and in the Western Plains from $103 to $104. Dress sales on Thursday were $166 to $168. The bulk of this week's cash sales is from $107 to $108, but lower in the Western Plains. The monthly WASDE supply and demand forecast showed a 15 million pound increase to 2020 beef production and 105 million pound reduction for 2021. Production estimates are 27.238 million pounds and 27.620 pounds, respectively. Wholesale box beef prices were down again Thursday. Choices down 367 to 214.59. Selects down 318 to 198.47. USDA reported 2,989 metric tons of beef was sold on the week ending last Friday for 2020 export. For next year, bookings are 12,028 metric tons. Accumulated beef exports were 18,200 metric ton higher to 779,192 metric tons with 4 weeks of data left to add this year. Week-to-date cattle slaughter under federal inspection through Thursday was estimated at 474,000 head. That shows last week by 7,000 head and last year by 17,000 head. Your lean hog futures closed Thursday down 27 cents to $1.17 lower. Pork cutout futures ended 25 to 62 cents in the red. The CME Lean Hog Index was up 6 cents on Wednesday to 65.66. USDA's national afternoon base hog price was 54.24, down 84 cents. USDA's national pork carcass cutout value was up 63 cents in the afternoon report to 78.23. USDA's WASD report showed a 155 million pound production bump to 2020 pork production, now at 28.336 million pounds. 2021 production was also 25 million pounds higher, with 28.51 million forecasted. USDA's export sales report showed 32,914 metric tons of pork sold on the week ending last Friday. For 2020 delivery, sales were down 15% week over week, with 26,000, and 2021 sales were 6,000 metric tons, up 52% week over week. USDA estimates this week's federally inspected hog slaughter at 1.972 million head through Thursday. That's 5,000 head above last week, but trails the same week last year by 1,000 head. So recapping your livestock futures from yesterday, Thursday, December cattle at 107.92, up 55 cents. February cattle at 111.85, up 87 cents. April live cattle at 115.97, up 92. Feeder cattle for January at 137.60, up 57 cents. March feeders at 139.25, up 45. April feeders at 140.72, up 30. Finally, your lean hog futures that were lower had December at 64.80, down 32. February lean hogs at 65.10, down $1.17. April lean hogs at 69.07, down 67. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday, Thursday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday afternoon's Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 32 cents lower in a range of $48 to $57, with a weighted average carcass price of $55.03. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at $25 to $28, 4 to 500 weight, $27 to $31, 5 to 600 weight, $30 to $35, and sows over 600 pounds traded at $33 to $37. On the Illinois Direct Hog, trade prices were for barrows and gilts at the country buying stations were weak, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $33 to $39. Packer receipts for barrels and gilts have totaled 17,361. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 106.50 to 107, and on a dress basis traded 165 to 170. Heifers on a live basis traded at 106 to 106.50, and on a dress basis traded at 167 to 170. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 271 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound carcass was 78.23, which was 63 cents higher. From the National Boxed Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $2.18.26, which was $6.76 lower, with the select carcasses at $2.01.65, which was $3.77 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 120,000, compared to 120,000 last week and 122,000 from 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 493,000 compared to 492,000 last week and 498,000 1 year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bobby Dowson with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show on this Friday morning, brought to you by Proves Drainage, by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Illinois. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by the CNB Bank and Trust, with 17 locations to serve you. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now here in Ag News on your Friday morning. Former USDA secretaries weighed in during a Farm Foundation forum on the farm issues they think should be top priorities for the next Ag Secretary. Mike Espy, USDA Secretary during the first Clinton administration, laid out what he sees as five areas a Biden Ag Secretary, now possibly if confirmed, former Obama Secretary Tom Vilsack, should focus on.
COVID, trade, rural development, nutrition, and what I call equity in agriculture.
Including women and minority farmers. SB successor Dan Glickman stressed research on animal disease.
About 70% of viruses that affect human beings come from animals. And yet we do very, very little research into this whole area of zoonotics. And this is an enormous threat for the human race. And it's an enormous threat for agriculture.
As COVID and other diseases like Ebola and SARS have shown, George W. Bush Ag Secretary Ann Veneman had a lot of experience with animal disease like mad cow disease, but also echoed Glickman on ag's role in limiting climate change and the need to build out rural broadband.
There needs to be a focus on rural development because of the lack of broadband in rural areas. Children who are trying to learn over hurting the business development, of course, it impacts health and telehealth.
The former Ag Secretary also stressed the need for a less confrontational trade policy without metals and other tariffs that result in retaliation, and implied criticism of the Trump administration's approach on trade. Also in news off Capitol Hill, I was able to speak with our local Congressman, Rodney Davis. He's looking forward to next year, as most of us are, with the prospects of multiple COVID vaccines being available to the public in the new year. Davis says defeating the virus will ultimately lead to greater opportunities for mid-Illinois farmers.
You know, absolutely. Our farmers, when you look at the great yields they've had, and we look at the increased markets that even more so in the midst of the pandemic than what we anticipated during the trade wars not so long ago, hopefully news is looking up for our farmers and our ag sector. The problem is we're still in the midst of this COVID pandemic, and that's got to be our first priority, is to defeat this virus. And frankly, I'm so proud of the bipartisan work that we were able to do back in the spring to allow for American ingenuity to come up with multiple vaccines. That puts us on a path back to normalcy. We see light at the end of the tunnel. And we've just got to be ready to make sure the programs are in place and the opportunities to sell products in the global marketplace are there once we come out of it.
Davis also talks about the one-week delay of new virus relief till next Friday that would go along with the comprehensive spending bill to fund the federal government.
This is something that should have been done months ago. We all knew that science told us that the virus would get worse in cold weather. We're seeing the movement towards more lockdowns at the state level. And if we don't allow mom-and-pop shops all throughout your listening area to have access to another round of PPP dollars, when we already have $130 billion sitting in a pot of money out in D.C., we just need to give them access to, then you know what? There's going to be failure and blame to go around right here in Washington, D.C.
Going into his fifth term in office, Davis is looking forward to possibly be working again with former U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack under the new Biden administration. He also credits the work of current Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue.
You know, I got a chance to work with former Secretary Vilsack when he was President Obama's Ag Secretary. And if he is named as Ag Secretary, I'm excited that I get a chance to work with him again. While nobody can compare to Sonny Perdue, I think Sonny Perdue did everything we've ever asked him to do throughout the 13th District at one of the toughest times in our nation's history. This is a guy who, who was in Central Illinois on numerous occasions, and we've got to be able to get more people like that into government. But Tom Vilsack and I had a great working relationship, and if he is going to be the choice, then I'm glad it was him rather than somebody that I didn't have a relationship with.
Finally, Davis, who is a member of the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure, is proud of the investments made on the lock and dam system on the Illinois River this year and says it will be a game changer for Illinois farmers in the long run.
Well, I'm glad that the Trump administration was finally the administration to invest in our locks and dams along the Illinois and Mississippi River waterways. it's crucial for our farmers to get their products out in the global marketplace. And that the investment in LaGrange has been amazing, and it got done on time, just like they said it would. And I'm excited to see that. So now we have to keep moving. But it took that first investment, Dave, to be able to get people to take seriously that these investments and these rehabs and these modernization of the old locks in our lock and dam system needed to be repaired and needed to be done. And that's exactly what this has done. And I'm confident that this administration and hopefully any future administration will take what the Trump administration did and continue that process.
Again, that was Congressman Rodney Davis of Taylorville. And not even hours after the interview with Rodney Davis, several media reports late Wednesday said Joe Biden will nominate Tom Vilsack to once again be Secretary of Agriculture, a post he held for 8 years under the Obama administration. He was also a top rural and ag policy advisor during Biden's presidential campaign. One person familiar with Biden tells Politico that Vilsack's previous experience running USDA was a key to the decision. Biden wants someone who can immediately tackle the hunger and farm challenges that are being made worse by COVID. During his term as USDA Secretary, Vilsack focused on many priorities outside the department's primary mission of focusing on farmers. Under Vilsack, the agency took a deeper dive into other areas like rural development and nutrition. The USDA will play a major role in Biden's response to climate change, which will likely make the job more attractive for Vilsack to return. After years of resistance against climate change discussion, Politico says farm groups are starting to warm up policies that give farmers incentives to capture and store carbon in their soil. The USDA is increasing incentive payments for practices installed on land enrolled in the Continuous Conservation Reserve Program. The Farm Service Agency is upping the practice incentive payments for installing practices from 5 to 20%. Producers will also receive a 10% incentive payment for water quality practices on land enrolled in CRP's continuous sign-up. FSA administers the CRP on behalf of the Commodity Credit Corporation. Quote, the Conservation Reserve Program provides agricultural producers and landowners with a tool to conserve natural resources on their land that is less suitable for farming, according to FSA Administrator Richard Fordyce. We offer several CRP initiatives, including continuous CRP, which greatly benefits natural resources like water. Increasing the incentive payment gives farmers even more reasons to participate in continuous CRP, one of the nation's largest conservation endeavors, he went on to say. Under the continuous CRP program, producers can enroll environmentally sensitive land devoted to certain conservation practices with sign-up availability at any time. FSA automatically accepts offers, provides the land, and producers meet the eligibility requirements. The 2021 Western Farm Show, scheduled for February 19th through the 21st in Kansas City, has been canceled by the Western Equipment Dealers Association, which is the event producer. Health and safety concerns related to COVID-19 are the reason the show will not be happening next year. Given the long history of this event as one of the Midwest's premier farm shows, this is a very disappointing step to take, according to show manager Ken Dean. But it's the responsibility and the responsible decision for the protection of everyone involved during the current pandemic. The Western Farm Show is one of the region's largest indoor ag attractions, featuring 400,000 square feet of exhibit space filled with new farm and ranch equipment as well as thousands of other agricultural products and services. The event draws farmers and ranchers from all over the Midwest, and it features a low-stress livestock handling demonstration, health and safety roundup, an FFA student food drive, and a family living center with food, health, and decor items for sale. Dean noted that the 2021 show would have marked the event's 60th anniversary, which will now be celebrated in 2022. The 2020-2021 U.S. corn crop is entering market channels as 2020 comes to a close. The U.S. Grains Council Corn Harvest Quality Report says the crop has a higher average test weight, lower moisture, and lower total damage relative to each quality's factor average of the previous 5 years. While wet weather in April and May contributed to historic delays in planting and crop maturity last year, the 2020 corn crop was planted slightly ahead of schedule and the average pace for the previous 5 years, and experienced generally favorable conditions during the remainder of the growing season. That resulted in both high grain quality and yield, the report said. The year's crop showed a higher test weight than the 2019 and 5-year average results. It showed a lower average of broken corn and foreign material than last year. There were also average corn total damage, a lower average total damage than 2019 and the 5-year average, as well as lower than average moisture content than 2019 and the last 5 years. The crop also showed higher than average protein concentration, lower average stress cracks, and lower average 100 kernel weight. We offer this reliable report to help buyers make well-informed decisions by providing reliable and timely information about the quality of the U.S. corn crop, according to USGC Chairman Jim Rabin. Moving on into Illinois State Ag News. A new apprenticeship program for surveyors and mapping technicians is aiming to narrow the gap between available technicians and demand. Technicians assist professional land surveyors in collecting information about boundaries, terrain, and property lines. The Illinois Professional Land Surveyors Association, in partnership with Parkland College in Champaign, has created the Surveyor and Mapping Technician Training Program. This first-in-the-nation program is a 2-year U.S. Department of Labor-recognized apprenticeship program in which apprentices train to become surveyor technicians. Once admitted to the program, apprentices begin a 90-day no-fault probationary period in which the apprentice or employer can terminate participation without any repercussion. Training consists of on-the-job learning, blended with online coursework in 13 in-person labs provided by Parkland. Apprentices are expected to take and pass the Certified Survey Technician Level 1 or Level 2 exam in order to complete the program. During the program, apprentices are paid a minimum of $15 an hour, and upon successful completion, apprentices are guaranteed a job and a minimum salary of $17 an hour. Program graduates also have the option to continue their education and become a fully licensed surveyor. All instruction provided by Parkland College may be then applied towards a bachelor degree. And in other state news, coming up on Tuesday, the cover crop premium discount program will go into effect. The inaugural season of the program last year, initiated by State Senators Scott Bennett and Senator Andy Menar, resulted in 50,000 acres more of cover crops planted in the state, with 70% of applicants identified as planting a cover crop last year for the first time. Farmers are encouraged to take this program into consideration when they make their fall planting decisions. The discount program was designed to promote additional acreage of cover crops that are not covered by other state and federal incentives. Cover crops are a great way to keep soil anchored, salvage nitrogen, and capture carbon, and create weed suppression, according to Jerry Costello, acting Illinois Department of Ag director. In the long run, cover crops will help Illinois farmers reduce the need for fertilizer and reach the goals of nutrient loss reduction strategies. Applications will be made available this month and on the Illinois Department of Ag website. Further information can be obtained by contacting the Illinois Department of Agriculture at 217-782-6297. And that'll conclude your Ag News here on a Friday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. Also, check out our Facebook page, WSMI Agriculture. So again, for this Friday morning, December 11th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.